Hey guys, join in on the conversation. Don't forget to like and subscribe, leave us a comment, let us know what you think and what you want to hear us talk about. Warning, in an attempt to identify and discuss our issues openly, we at the Other Side of Hell podcast may discuss drug and alcohol abuse in detail. Anyone suffering with addiction could find this triggering.
Please note, we are not counselors, therapists, or medical professionals. We do not speak on behalf of any 12-step groups or treatment facilities. We are just three guys who have been through hell and have come out the other side.
Our hope is to share our experience with others who may have found themselves in similar situations so that you know you are not alone, there is hope, and there are people who understand how you feel. Enjoy.
Hey, what's up, guys? I am Cameron.
I'm Nate.
And I'm Willie.
And on today's show, we have again...
Hey, man, I'm Jordan. I'm back.
Welcome to the Other Side of Hell. All right, guys, so here we are again. Welcome to the Other Side of Hell. We are back in quarantine still, guys. How's everybody holding up? We still doing all right?
Getting better. Yeah, I agree. I'm doing better.
Yeah?
Jordan's it's nice. Okay.
It's nice to still be doing the show. I got to say that. So.
Yeah, I'm glad that we found a way to continue putting out content, you know, just obviously to break up some of the free time in my life. Be able to still have some content.
Yeah.
Well, I think that everybody in the world is an expert at Zoom by now. And I was telling somebody the other day, man, I wish I had stock in Zoom.
For real.
Wow. Yeah.
It's blowing up. But Jordan, you brought up a very interesting topic, and that's actually what our topic is today. And so, a very, very good point. Today, I want to talk about free time, man. We all have a lot of it. And, you know, like, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of different things about free time that can definitely, can definitely screw with me, you know? So I think it's important. It's worth having it as its own topic, right? And it's worth talking about because I think that everybody in the world is currently dealing with having more free time. So what are your thoughts on that? Like, why do you feel like it's important for us to talk about free time? Let's go to you, Nate.
Well, first of all, I've always said to myself, man, if I only had more free time, what would I do? And now that I have all this free time, like, I'm just amazed at how much I'm wasting. Like, I can't believe how much free time I'm actually wasting, you know? And, like, we kind of talked about this earlier. Like, I feel guilty about not taking advantage of the time I have right now, you know, this extra time, you know? And so, you know, that's kind of how I feel about it right now, is that I could be using my time a lot better. I could be accomplishing a lot more, this is a great topic. I'm glad we're talking about it today. Like, you know, so
me too. Yeah, I identify with a lot of that. Like, Willie, what are your thoughts on the free time that we all have found ourselves with?
I don't think there's any such thing as free time. I think it all costs something, you know, And we've shared about this stuff before, you know. The problem is, like, it's such a mind fuck, you know. Every second counts, you know. That one, it counted. That one, it counted. And it's all kind of a timeline to the end of our lives. And regardless of what's going on in the world around us, like, every second counts, right? So there really is no such thing as free time. However, I think what we're talking about today is that time that's extra outside of what we would normally be using as part of a normally scheduled day, like making a living, being a parent, being in a relationship, you know, because those things are all accounted for. But it seems like now I'm getting home a little sooner, you know? but I'm also sleeping in a little more. So, like, I understand what you're saying. And, yeah, it's been interesting. Like Nate was saying, I could identify with what he was saying, because how many times have I said if I had more time at the house?
Right.
If I had more time with the kids, yeah. If I had more time to exercise, if I had more time for this or more time for that. And now it's here, and I'm finding that the discipline that I may have thought I had, I don't necessarily have as well as I thought I did have. So it's a great topic. I'm excited to get into it and kind of share a little bit about what I've learned over the last couple of weeks and what I see my future looking like. So,
well, I'm excited to get into it with you too. Yeah. Jordan, what are your thoughts on free time, man?
Well, I'm going to have to agree with Willie. He kind of nailed it. Like, obviously there is no such thing as free time. I totally agree 100%. And what we're all experiencing is just a giant chunk in the calendar that's not scheduled, right? So for me, I am still staying extremely, extremely busy. Like I had mentioned in last week's episode, I'm still doing work, right? So I'm essential worker, so I'm still working through the week and, you know, staying busy when I come home doing editing on you know, things like podcasts or just whatever. So, you know, I'm not getting too stir crazy or cabin fever, if you will, but that's where I'm at. That's my experience.
Well, Jordan, what you mentioned is something I think that's pretty important is what we're all experiencing now is time that's not scheduled. Like I personally have a lot of free time right now. Like I'm not an essential employee. The nature of my job is that you know, I have bouts of unemployment as it is, just in between jobs, and so it's not necessarily new territory for me, but to find myself with this much of it is definitely, it can seem overwhelming, right? And so I am not alone, and it's good to know I'm not alone, and obviously talking with the three of you and thinking, how many times have I said if I had more free time? And in my case, like, it's always like, if I had more free time, I would write more. I would, you know, do all these things on the list that I just could never seem to really get to, right?
Right.
But now that I have all the free time in the world, it almost becomes easier for me to put those things off. Because, yeah, I have a lot of free time today, but guess what? I have all that same free time tomorrow. Too. Yeah. So it's like, it almost becomes easier for me to procrastinate, and maybe sort of calling back to what we were talking about last week. If I find myself being unproductive, or it's easier for me to be unproductive the entire day. Or what you were saying last week, Jordan, is that you find yourself to be more productive on days where you have to get up and go to work as it is. And so in that same instance, like when I don't have to get up and go to work and I don't have to immediately start my day, like what am I doing with that time? And so again, like I think it is important that time is sort of scheduled, right? So, Willie, I want to go back to you because you had said that you feel like you have learned a lot about yourself in this instance. And I think
some sad truths.
Yeah, that's pretty important, right? Like right now is a learning opportunity for all of us. And so, like, I would love for you to share with us, like, what is it that you've learned over this last little bit?
Well, you know, I want to be the guy that's able to come in here every time and be like, I never get depressed. I never fall into a rut. I never, you know, like I'm always on point. And you know, one of the things that I'm grateful for is that I've come to a place in my life where I'm able to accept the challenges that I have in front of me regarding myself, right? When I started this journey of self-discovery, I made a commitment, which I wish I could be as committed in every area of my life as I am in this one, but the commitment is to get to know myself well, even if what I find out isn't what I thought it was, right? And so, and I think I've mentioned it a few times over the last couple of weeks, but I've used a lot of my life as a distraction from the growth that needs to happen, right? And so, not having the amount of distractions that I normally had, and I'm starting to be able to call them justifiable distractions, okay? I have an important phone call that I need to make. I have a meeting that I need to get to. I have a job that I need to get to. I have this commute or that commute. I got to get my coffee. I got to go, you know. I had all these justifiable distractions that aren't there anymore, right? And I was actually pretty addicted to those distractions, right? I was dependent upon them to keep me from being able to look at myself as undisciplined as I actually am, you know. Because prior to all this, when I had to get up to go to work anyway, like Jordan was saying, I might as well get up an hour and a half early and go to the gym because I got to get up and go to work anyway. And mm-hmm. and there was a benefit in that, right? Like I've said, doing the right thing for the wrong reasons. Like I would get up and I would go to the gym and then I would work out and then I would post a picture of myself sweaty and after a good workout, and then I would get that positive feedback about, oh, you're doing so great, and then I would live off of that for the rest of the day and continue that into, you know, my work career, and I would post a picture of that, like, look at me excelling in my job, and I become a boss, and I started my own company, and all these things, and they're the right things to do, you know, I think that they're okay to do. But it was a split motive, right? Like there was the motive of wanting that for myself as a part of my self-esteem and personal growth and gaining a relationship with myself. But I also wanted that recognition from you guys and our listeners and my family and the people in the groups and all those things. And without all that, I definitely found that the discipline that I thought I had was kind of superficial. And now I have to go a little bit deeper inside of myself and get a little bit more committed and like, okay, now that those distractions aren't there, what's my motive? Right? Why, you know, I have to get deeper and go, okay, why do I want to be healthy still? Why do I want to get out of bed today? You know, when I don't have that. And so learning that about myself has made making this corona thing happen worth it, I guess, because I'm going to kind of take responsibility for it, because I asked myself in a cold shower one day, what would I do if shit got real, right? And this isn't even the worst that it could get. Like, we still got power and water and Zoom and phones and food and it, even all that could go away, and it raises the question in me, like, what would happen then? So it's a good opportunity for me to really check my motives in life and push myself to another level of discipline and responsibility. And so I'm kind of grateful for what I'm learning, you know, and it comes from that desire to understand that I don't have any free time. Every second counts. What am I going to do with the time that I have?
For sure. And I think that maybe this is actually a really, really good thing, because I think that we're all in the same boat with as far as like what we're dealing with, like the coronavirus. However, I will say that I feel like, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like maybe what Jordan and Willie are dealing with might be a little bit different version of what's happening than maybe say Nate and I, because Nate and I aren't working at all.
No, not at all.
And so I think that, you know, our sort of version of the free time that has been created is probably a little bit different than, you know, say, your Jordan, your time, or Willie, your time. So, Nate, like, on that instance, like, sort of going back to what Willie is saying, as far as him learning from this whole experience, would you say that you've learned some too? And if so, like, what have you learned about free time in your hands?
Well, honestly, what I have learned about free time is, now that it's been given to me, like, here you go, like, I'm like really being lazy about it, you know, like, you know, there was a time in my life when I would look on people's Instagram pages and I'd get so jealous of the lives that they lived. You know, it looked like they were doing so many fun things. And, you know, that was back when I was in addiction, alcohol addiction and food addiction and all a toxic relationship. And when I got out of all that and I got sobered up and I got clear headed and I was really determined to live the best life possible, like, I made a list of things, like, I kind of did an outline of my life of how I wanted it to look, you know, like, I wanted to do paint, I wanted to learn how to paint, I wanted to get back into throwing pots, I wanted to, you know, go hiking all the time, and I wanted to do all these things, you know, as add-ons to my life, you know, my own career, my own job, you know, creating my own company, like, I wanted to have an interesting life, basically. And I'm fine, like, here, like, I can't work, like, I can't, everybody has can't, like, all my meeting, my schedule is cleared, like, everybody cleared my schedule for me, you know. And so, like, I got up the other morning and it was like, I felt depressed because I couldn't work, but yet I have a brand new potter's wheel out in the garage. Like, why am I not excited that I get to go throw, like, I have all the time in the world. Like, I've been telling myself for months, get on that potter's wheel and go throw pots, get back into it, you know? And yet I'm like, yeah, I'll do it later. I got all day. Like, I want to become a reader. I want to read more. And yet I'm finding myself going, eh, I'll do it later. You know? And, you know, and I think that this quarantine has brought on some emotions that I wasn't expecting. You know, like, I'll be honest, I've experienced a little bit of depression, a little bit of sadness, kind of working through that. But you know, why am I not excited to get up early in the morning, go outside? It's beautiful out there now. You know, the weather's great. Like, you know, I just, here I've been complaining that I don't have time to do all these extra things with my life, and now I have all the time in the world to do them, but yet I'm not doing them. And I agree with Willie, like, my discipline, like, I am not as disciplined as I thought I was. And here I thought I wasn't a lazy person. I was an active, you know, really a person that was always on the go, always excited, always wanting to try new things. But yet, am I really the person I thought I was? Like, I don't know. I'm a little frustrated with myself right now at how I'm handling this, you know, and the free time that I have, you know. So that's where I'm at.
Well, I definitely identify with the frustration that you feel with yourself.
I'm extremely frustrated.
Well, and I think that it's sort of, it goes back to what we said, like, in the very beginning, like, I feel guilty when I don't use that time adequately. Like, for me, like, mm-hmm. when I have a list of things that I know I want to be doing, and instead I choose to watch, you know, season 3 of the Ozark, which, by the way, is totally worth watching. But, like, regardless, like, when I choose to, like, honestly, like, I rarely have any moment where I don't feel guilty for watching TV. Like, that's me. And I have other people too. that love to play video games and that are playing a lot of video games right now. And I never, like almost never, feel okay spending my free time playing video games. For me, it feels like I should be doing something else with that time. And so, like, for me, the guilt that comes with not using that extra time adequately is immense. Like, it is sometimes enough for me to not get off my ass because I'm already beating myself up for you know, the time that I'm already wasting, that I'm like, I might as well waste more of it. Like, I might as well watch the next episode. Like, I've already watched, you know, the two before. I've already wasted 2 hours today. Like, screw it. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll start tomorrow. Tomorrow, 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 you know? And so I think that it's a very real thing to let that guilt that comes with wasting that free time, like, really sort of overwhelm me, you know? Jordan, like, what have you felt like you've maybe learned about yourself and free time over just, I wouldn't even say like recently, I would just say like over the course of your story. Like, I know last week you even talked about how you felt like you had to go and do something creative, like, just because you were sort of going a little crazy, right?
Right. You know, I also like doing those things. I think it's important, like, and kind of to go back to your friend playing video games. Like, I'm the same way. I don't usually play video games. I have an Xbox, and it's pretty much just used for Netflix and Hulu, you know what I mean? Like, I think I have one video game. But my outlet is through being creative. My outlet is through hiking and those things as well, you know? So I will say that, you know, just because you go play a video game, it's definitely not crucifiable in my opinion. I have a buddy that I do a YouTube show with separate than this, and one of the shows on that channel is him streaming a video game, and the dude beat Kingdom of Hearts in like less than 5 hours, and that's insane. But it gets a bunch of views because people are into that. So, you know, it pays dividends when you're doing something that you're passionate about. But what I have learned is, especially, you know, recently, because I'm not stuck at home, I'm not just left with my thoughts all day like some of us are, but I feel that my freedom of things that I can go out and do has been completely stifled, right? Like, I can't go to the movie with my fiance, I can't go sit and have, you know, a nice dinner at a restaurant with her. So there's a lot of things that myself and us as a couple are being kind of forced to do that are taken for granted. You know, we've been playing a bunch of board games and things like that, so it has been kind of a productive experience for me to, like, learn that I don't need to go out and do all these outside world distractions. I can, you know, we can do things here at home and or do things that don't cost us a bunch of money. So really, it has kind of been a blessing in disguise, if you will say that. I will make the point that I have been super busy with editing in the last week, and she's kind of just been stuck, you know, in another room on dealing with her own, trying to keep herself entertained. And so I kind of feel a little bit rough about that, because I have a tendency to really, really fill my schedule, and that doesn't go away when the world shuts down. I'm still just capable of completely filling my schedule somehow. And it's kind of showed me that I am not very good at making time for every area in my life. I'm just not. And the first one that takes the hardest hit is my relationship. And, you know, that's kind of an eye-opener, and it sucks to, like, view that, but it is what it is, and that's kind of what I'm seeing now, because I'm not out at band practice or out on a shoot on location. I'm in the house, and I'm still isolating myself from a relationship, so it's, like, very clear. Very, very clear as day that, wow, I don't manage my time very well. I overfill my time. And that's kind of where I'm at. That's what I've learned from it.
Right. Well, I mean, there's something to be said for that, too. Like, you don't want to overfill or overcommit yourself, right? Like,
right.
like lack of free time is probably also a thing. Yeah, so I just wanted to say that, like, I don't want to say that anybody that plays video games or anybody that watches TV, like, this is just my own shit. Like, I feel bad about that shit, like, because, like, for whatever reason, like,
no, there's I totally agree with you.
Yeah, like, I think if it's something that you enjoy, then it's productive. Like, my problem is that generally I don't feel good about it because I feel like I should be doing a thousand other things.
Something creative.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's like kind of my problem too, Cameron, is when I'm doing the things for myself, the creative things for myself, my mind is thinking, what about this? What about that? You know, like I'm worried about other things. Like I just need to clear my head and enjoy the moment, you know, like, hey, this is for me. This is a creative, this is my outlet. This is for me. I'm going to enjoy the moment. But I like what Jordan said about, I'm really bad at making time for myself. Like I really am, you know, like I can make time for other people. I can make time for my business. I can make time for you guys. But when it comes to myself, I'm like really bad at it, you know? I don't know. It's
mind-boggling.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. And I mean, the reason I bring that up, the reason I say it is because really, like, here we are, like, you know, like, everybody in the world is experiencing this, an immense amount of free time on their hands. Like, and why is it that we're all complaining, you know, there's just a lot of complaining going on instead of this immense sense of gratitude that now I get to stay home and clean my house the way I want it. Now I get to, I get to make that dinner with my husband that we haven't done for a long time. You know, I get to spend time with my kids that I've always wanted, you know, quality time instead of like, oh, you know, there's just, I don't know. That's kind of the sense I'm getting, you know, and I could be a lot more grateful for the time I have right now. And I think if I was really grateful.
It's a psychological mind fuck.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. But yeah. I think if I was really grateful for this time and this experience, instead of looking at it like this is happening to me, it's happening for me. And I actually get, you know, like, what do I get to, what can I take out of this? What am I going to do with this time?
You know,
like, that's really how I should be looking at this. But yet my mind goes to that default mode of, woe is me. Oh, me. You know?
It's easy to be the victim, man.
Yeah, it's like.
Yeah, victim. Yeah. It goes, yeah.
It's very easy to be the victim.
Right?
A victim doesn't have to take control of things. They don't have to take ownership. So that's super, super easy. There's no accountability in being a victim.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, really, if I was super, if I was grateful for, if I was really in a state of gratitude right now, I'd be grateful that tonight I have my plate is, you know, my schedule's cleared. I get to go throw a pot, or I get to go do a pour painting, or I get to read. You know, and I would enjoy that, you know, but instead I'm throwing my hands up in the air like, what do I do? What do I do? You know, I'm just going to sit here and feel sorry for myself, you know? So,
I think we can all identify with that. I mean, I know I can definitely identify with that. Willie, I feel like you have something you want to say. I would love to hear from you.
Well, I'm wondering, I'm going over the past however long, right? And there's not a single exercise that I regret doing. There's not a book that I regret reading. There's not playtime that I regret with my kids. There's not a meal I regret making with my wife. There's not a class I regret taking. And it's funny how I can identify with what you guys are saying, and I'm a little bit harsh on myself right now because I think I need it. You know, I need to talk a little bit, you know, get out of your poopy pants, little baby boy. What are you crying for?
Yeah.
Right. And I know that that's kind of a negative self-talk, but, it's not me calling myself a piece of shit. I'm not saying, you know, you spent enough time wasting this opportunity, right? So get the fuck up. It's time to stop this insanity and move forward with whatever the situation is that's happening for you, right? Because there's no one in my life that has COVID-19. Jordan was the closest person and to me personally that's even been exposed to it. And it's because of what we're going through right now. And there's, you know, I've listened to Nate send us a message from Goggins sitting on his couch saying the same thing. There's people out there that are fucking dying right now from the disease that the world's a pandemic over, and none of us are suffering from it, right? There's still alcoholics on the street, drug addicts on the street dying from this disease that are putting themselves in greater exposure to corona by maintaining their drug addiction and alcoholism, right? That are still dying on the streets. There's people that are in far worse off positions than me. I have absolutely zero right to sit around and complain about the opportunity that's in front of me. And sometimes that's what it takes for me, you know. Like I was talking to Nate, and I think I spoke with you about, you know, the cycles that I go through, right? And that's what it is for me. It's a cycle, because I get in this exact same space when I have everything going for me, right? And that's a reality for me. I was talking to Avery about it last night when we were laying in bed, because I feel like I'm on the other side of the rut, right? Like I'm coming out of a rut. And I recognize coming out of the rut, because I come out of the rut quite often. And it almost doesn't matter what's happening in my life, right? I think there's probably maybe some mental diagnosis to it, right? A dual diagnosis thing that maybe there's some clinical depression that goes along with my disease that isn't necessarily treated medically, right? So I go through it emotionally, and I work through it with the people in my life, and now it's time for me to come out of it and stop crying about the opportunity that I have in front of me to enjoy the time that I have with my family at my home, cleaning my house the way I want to, building my garden, exercising at home, learning new things about myself, right? And
I got to say this. If Goggins were sitting right next to me, I know exactly what he would say. He'd get up and leave and look at me and go, "You little bitch." Are you kidding me?
Like, and I don't want to get into negative self-talk, right? Like that's an ism for me, because I can fucking beat myself down bad unnecessarily. But I'm at a place where I've kind of stepped below my greatness. You know, I've allowed myself to slip underneath my greatness, and I've used this opportunity as an excuse to do that. And now that I've caught myself in it, it's time for me to do the work to get where I need to be with the opportunity that I have. And that's bottom line, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I like the way you put that, Willie, because I feel like I definitely can identify with the fact that I sort of gave myself an opportunity to let myself go with everything that was maybe happening, right? So,
like unintentionally, though, right?
Yeah.
Like it's not like, oh, I'm gonna do something that makes myself feel like shit this week, you know? Like, that's the shitter of it all, is.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I didn't intentionally do it, but I didn't exactly fight hard when I felt the need to do it as well. Like, I think I, you know, bought into the excuse that, well, I mean, the world's going to shit. Like, you know, might as well. And you talked about, like, getting out of the rut, but what you said was getting out of the rut, and it's like this self-imposed rut that I sort of put myself into, right?
Right.
So it is challenging, because, you know, I have to go through this process of not really beating myself up, and instead, like, working on, you know, like, what can I do about it? Like, what can change? And so I think that, you know, that there are definitely things I can do to better, you know, make use of my time so that I can feel better about, like, you know, watching Netflix or playing video games or, you know, having those moments to myself where, you know, I don't have to feel guilty for it, or even like not getting up immediately, sleeping in, things like that. Like, it's okay to, for me to do all that stuff as long as I feel like I've allotted enough time in all the categories of my life, right? Anyways, I think also that it does speak to a lot of what you're talking about, Willie. Let's move into the solution. So what do we do about it? We've identified it. We know, like, you know, the guilt that comes from it. We know that, you know, why maybe we have a lot of free time, or maybe we don't have a lot of free time. It's like, what are some of the things that we can do to combat the guilt that we might get, or that I might get anyways, from taking too much of that free time? So Willie, let's hear from you, bud.
Oh, from me, like I know anything.
I was, that's the only reason I was on this meeting, dude. It's like, I was waiting for you to tell me what the hell to do.
Well, I mean, none of this stuff is like, it's all shit we know, right? Like, none of it's new. None of it's all stuff that we know. But the ism that I have gets me stuck from time to time. And I end up in a place where I forget that I end up that place, and then I have to reset and go back to the things that work. So what it seems like everybody that is successful during this time of pandemic and what we're all going through, they're doing a lot of the same stuff, and it all starts with maintaining a schedule, right? Like make a fucking schedule so that you have something to do, something to commit to, right? It seems like that's across the board what people are suggesting, and that's where I would say we start, is build a schedule for the week, right? Put on the paper that you're going to work out for 30 minutes or 40 minutes, whatever you commit to, right? I was talking with Avery. You guys know that my spouse she got certified as a personal trainer right before the pandemic hit, and then she lost her job at the gym she was working at. And so I asked her, you know, look, why don't you build me a 30 minute routine for every morning next week, you know, so that I can get up and put that on my schedule for this allotted time. I can get up and go through this routine, you know. Cameron, I know that you already naturally have a morning routine.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that you've maintained through all this, right? You maintain your spiritual work and your reading and stuff like that. But I would suggest we still put it on paper, right?
Right, and I do, yeah, usually.
Like, let's fill our calendars back up with the things that we can do, with dedicated laundry, as dumb as it sounds, right?
Right.
Like, let's get good at making our laundry look nice. You know, let's dedicate the time to do our family contributions, whatever that is, you know, the things that we can do around the house, you know, and then look at the extra projects that we've been wanting to work on. Like Nate mentioned, the books that he wants to read, put on paper, you know, from 11 to noon, I'm going to fucking read for an hour this book, you know. And then, it helps with the dedication to make sure that happens, because what happens at the end of that when we don't do it, like there's certain levels of guilt, right? Like there's the guilt of not having something on paper and not following through with doing nothing. But there's a whole different set of discipline and reactions that come along with, I said I'm going to do this and I didn't do it. That adds to me feeling like a piece of shit. So that negative self-talk creeps back in, and it's not, you're doing bad, you are bad, right? And that's where I really get wrapped up in falling backwards on all the work that I've done, because then I start believing that I'm all the negative things that I think about, instead of trying to give myself a kick in the ass, like, let's go, buddy, come on, you can fucking do better, you know, that kind of stuff. So I would say schedule. Start with that, you know? that's a good starting point for a solution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think that there's a lot of different things that that I benefit from scheduling or just making lists in general. Like, Nate, let's hear from you, bud. Like, what kind of solutions do you have as far as how to manage your free time? Like I said, I mean, you and I maybe are in just a little bit of a different boat because we have quite a bit of it right now. So what have you been doing?
Yeah, so first of all, I think I just need to fucking Goggins up and quit being a little bitch and realize that and start being grateful for this time that I do have. And, you know, really, you know, I've got notes right here, like a list, like make a list and follow it, you know. And, you know, like my mind, I don't know why, like this last week, my mind's been kind of, I've been getting off track real easy. And so, you know, I really need to focus on my discipline. And, you know, if I schedule time to read from 11 to 12, well, God damn it, I'm going to read from 11 to 12. I got to stick to that schedule. And I really got to work on my discipline for this next week. And, you know, I'm pretty good with lists and I'm pretty good with mapping out my day and my week. But for me, it's really just sticking to that and getting it in my head that this is what I'm going to do. And when I'm doing it, I'm focused on this. I'm not going to think about what I can't take care of or what I can't change. You know, I can't worry about work right now. I'm just going to worry about reading a book, doing a painting, throwing a pot, spending time with my parents. You know, I'm going to reach out to somebody today and say hi. Like I just got to stick to it and just focus on it. And that's kind of my solution for the week. So.
Yeah, it's great. And along with, you know, a lot of what you said there, like, I think it's important for me anyways to be open to new ideas, right?
Yeah.
So it's
So
all those things that I may have thought that I wanted to do with my free time, well, what else? Like, maybe I never really thought about, like, you know, reading or a specific book or, you know, like you said, some artistic stuff, you know, like maybe try something new, right? Like,
And that's what it's about, right? Like, do it, like free time is like trying new things, right?
Right.
Like with your free time, it's really about trying new things. So,
Well, and it's like Willie said, you know, like schedule out your day, make a list, and then like you said, like stick to the list. Like that's probably
that
list or that schedule doesn't do you a damn bit of good if you're not going to adhere to it. So,
yeah.
I know that's some of what I've been struggling with this week is just like, you know, even having enough discipline to first then make the schedule and then to stick to the things I've already decided to do for myself. So, Jordan, do you have any thoughts on sort of solutions to what we can do in order to combat like the guilt that we feel with that free time?
I think if you're feeling guilt, like definitely feel it and learn from it, go deep into it and really identify within yourself and that guilt you're experiencing. Like what is that guilt? Why do I feel guilty? For me, it's different than you. I have a very, very hard time sitting still. I have a very, very hard time not doing something. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's something I need to work on because you do need downtime in your life, I think. I think it's absolutely necessary to have downtime. You can't always be productive, and sometimes the most productive thing you can do is not be productive. But obviously don't abuse that. And, well, it's easy to abuse things that are easy, so... but, yeah, I know, just stay on top of it. And reading is a huge thing. It's always been, especially since about January, I made it a goal that I was going to read a book a week, I was going to journal daily, and just continue doing my things, and I've kept up on all of those. I've journaled every day since pretty much January. That helps me a lot. I think journaling is a huge thing, because you write down what's going through your head that day, and it, for me, it's like therapeutic. It's easy for me to rid of that. And then it also gives me a blueprint that I can look back on and be like, oh, well, these days I was doing this and that resulted in this and so on and so forth. And Like the book, for instance, like I just finished reading The Happiness Advantage last week, and this week I'm on to The Untethered Soul. If you haven't read that one so far, it's pretty sweet. I'd say check it out. But just staying committed to the things that you say you're going to do. It's really easy to talk yourself out of doing something for whatever reason. You know, the phrasing of any excuse will do if you're looking for one, it's true. And it doesn't matter what situation you're in. So for me, it's just staying on top of things.
I like that. So, any excuse will do.
But for me, like, as far as, like, scheduling things, man, like, I don't write things down. Like, I'm so consistently busy that I don't have to write things down. I'm going to get reminded from 8 a.m. to 12 a.m. or 12 p.m. or whatever that I've got this to do, I've got that to do, I've got this to do. But I actually kind of want to dive into scheduling things down because I want to devote a little bit more time towards my relationship, towards myself, and towards downtime. Like, I need to figure out what it is with me that can't just sit down, because it's not all that great, you know. It's, you got to be able to have balance. So that's my take.
Balance.
Yeah. You know, I like that. And it comes down to those couple things that I've said over and over again when it comes to my own success. The things that I've done well at and excelled at always came down to commitment and follow through, right? Like when I commit to something and I follow through with it, whatever that is, I end up succeeding at it, you know, period. It's been a demonstration, and that includes failure, right? When I commit to failure, doing the things that don't work, whether it's consciously, subconsciously, whether I voice it and say that it's something that I can't do, that's a commitment to failure, right? And so,
right.
When I do those two things, then I seem to succeed in whatever it is I'm trying to succeed at.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. Like, I think it sort of ties back into just the discipline, which I, you know, keep coming back to over and over, because it seems like so critical that we be disciplined with our time, like, no matter how we're able to implement that. Like, one of the things that, you know, we looked at in order to research the show was sort of just the different things that we do with our time, right? So we spend a certain amount of our time working on our careers, a certain amount working on our relationships, and a certain amount, like, working on ourselves. And if we're able to be disciplined enough to make sure that there's something happening in all three of those categories and that they're all in balance, like you said, then generally I'm not going to feel bad about the time that I spend on myself, like, no matter what that is. So, like, if the free time that I've allotted for myself is video games or is Netflix or is all those things that, you know, that I'll feel bad about if I do over another thing that I feel like I should be doing, then I'm probably more inclined to not feel guilt about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I would say that's one of the biggest things with me, is just, like, not feeling guilty about the time that I've quote unquote wasted. So, Nate, exactly. What's going on in your brain, man? You tell me.
Oh, I'm just, it's been kind of a weird day for me. I'm actually excited to kind of get going on my list. You know, I'm going to rededicate myself tomorrow to really working on, you know, the things that I want, you know, these extracurricular activities that I wanted to do, you know, like, I can't do a goddamn thing about work right now, you know? I got to get over that guilt feeling. I really do. I just got to get over that work is where it's at. I get to focus on, I get to do some things for myself, you know, and not feel guilty about it.
Yep.
You know, so I that's kind of what's going through my head right now. You know, I feel super selfish for, I don't know if it's being, you know, feelings of selfishness or what, but just, you know, and why do we feel guilt for wanting to read a book? and better ourselves, you know, or do something fun, you know, spend time with someone. Why do we feel guilty about that? You know, like, I don't know. That's kind of what's going on with me. So,
but I can feel guilty about anything. I mean,
I can too. Yeah, I can too. I can too.
That's just the nature of my disease. Like, it wants me to have excuse will work. Everything.
Any right. excuse will work for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and I'm, you know, like, discipline's always been a hard thing for me. You know, like, I, you know, I've got ADHD and, you know, that's kind of, I've been kind of struggling with that lately, you know, trying to get myself centered and, you know, my concentration has been a bad for me this last couple of weeks. And, you know, I can't believe how easily distracted I am, you know? So I really do. Like, I need to buckle down. I need to get back to basics. I just need to, I got a lot to work on this week. So, yeah.
Well, I'm with you. I feel the same way, you know, like I kind of, you know, I talked about it a little bit last week as far as like diet and stuff. And there's been some slacking that's happened for me this week as far as some of that goes. It's been a little bit better.
It's frustrating as hell. Yeah. Frustrating as hell.
But it does come down to like me trying to manage my time well. And that comes down to taking the discipline to schedule out everything that I'm going to do, because I have all the things to do, right? And another thing that I know I've come across, that, you know, as far as like scheduling and making a list and things like that, like another thing that's been helpful or that might be helpful is to list out all the things like on little flashcards or something, you know, list out all the things, the different activities that you could be doing with that free time. And then when you find yourself with free time, like go to it, because I know that there's times where like I'll randomly have free time and it's like, oh, my default is, oh, I'm going to go boom, you know, to in front of the TV. And it's like, well,
yeah,
why don't I stop, pull out, you know, like the list of different things I could be doing and say, you know what, like, I'm not going to actually go in front of the TV. I'm going to actually, you know, like read a book or, you know, clean or play a video game or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So
my routine right now is not as healthy as I thought it was.
Yeah. You don't think so? Like, what do you mean?
I got to make some adjustments, you know? Yeah. You know, I'm trying to do this thing right now, win the morning. I'm trying to win the morning. Like, if I can win my morning, I'm usually really productive throughout the day. You know, and that means getting up on time, making my bed, you know, and, you know, if I can win my morning, I'm usually pretty good. So, yeah, but you're right. Like, everything you said, spot on. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Willie, like, you leaned in. I was waiting for you to say something.
He did.
Listening.
He said, yeah.
Listening. I really like the yeah, like.
Yeah. All that.
I don't know. Like, I think it's just important to stay busy, right? Like,
yeah. And we're still, I think too, like, we're only halfway into April. Like, really, this whole quarantine thing, you know, the shelter in place and everything, it is supposed to go another 2 weeks.
Minimum.
It could go longer. And, like, I keep thinking to my, I don't know why I keep thinking like, it's going to be over soon. Like, no, it might not be over soon. You know, it could keep going. Like, yeah. I've got to just plan on getting into this lifestyle now. Like, get into it, dive
That's
into
what
it.
I'm saying. Yep.
Yeah. Dive into it.
And like, honestly though, like how damaging is it to think ahead? Like, for me, like it can be productive to think ahead in a scheduling purpose and a scheduling type of like platform or format. But like, when you really get into thinking ahead of, like you're saying, maybe this quarantine is another 2 weeks minimum, but it can go longer. Well, then does that add way more time that counteracts the solution? Right. So maybe thinking too far ahead is part of the problem. You know,
well, that could be it. That could be it.
I mean,
yeah,
you're absolutely right, Jordan. Because like, if I think too far ahead, I'm more likely to tell myself, I'll get back to my routine when things get back to normal.
Right.
It's like, well,
isn't that part of the problem?
Yeah,
that exactly. Excuse like, right there.
Yeah, like this is how things are now. So this is how I've got to do things while they are the way they are. Like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wonder, you know, there's things that are on my vision for me that absolutely land perfectly during this time.
Perfect. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Yep.
You know, there's things on there that I get to work on now that I didn't consider last week that
right.
You know, reading it this morning, I go, fuck, right. Here's my chance to do these things that I wrote down last August as the type of person that I want to be. And here's my chance. Fuck yeah.
You know,
yes.
So last night I watched another TED Talk. It's a really good TED Talks about time management. And the lady that gave the talk said, pretend like you're writing your review. You know how at work you get those yearly reviews? Like, write down your yearly review for the next year, what you would want it to say. And so maybe what I ought to do is I ought to write down what I would like this quarantine to look like for me when it's all over with, you know, and not let it be like my sixth grade summer where all I did was sit home and do nothing, you know,
and then go to school
and regret it, you know.
Yeah, be able to look back on this time and be like, I fucking killed it during that time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Time.
Yeah. Yeah. And not, because the last thing I want to do is look back on this time and say, man, I wasted it. That was a complete waste.
Not to cut you off, Cameron, but I mean, honestly, we're not wasting any time. We're still functioning as a core, as a podcast, and we still have people sharing their stories with us. So, you know,
we're still
actively engaging in a community that's outside of our community. It's outside of our houses. And I know we've got a probably pretty cool story today, honestly. So.
We do have a cool story today. Yeah. Hurricane Kristen. Woo!
Yeah. Yeah, well, Jordan, what I like about what you said is like we're keeping engaged, and I think a lot of what's happening is that you know, if I was doing everything that I'm doing now and working 8 hours, I would feel really good about my time.
Right.
But because like I'm doing this in lieu of that 8 hours spent on a daily basis, you know, it seems like a little, it's easy for me to get in my head about it is sort of the bottom line.
Totally.
But with that, like one of the things that I heard from our war story is stay busy.
Yes.
So Kristen is a fan of the show. She's somebody that we reached out to and asked her if she could provide her war story, and she was nice enough to get that over to us. And guys, it was amazing. Kristen's actually really, really
so
good
much
speaker.
Fun.
Yeah,
so much fun.
She's
to
really
listen
cool.
To.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And she had a really. There was a couple of things I identified in there. One of the biggest things I identified with her story was that she was the party girl. She was the funny one at the party, like, and that's totally, I mean, that's totally how, you know, I think I've said it before, like I would go and I was on, like that was my thing. Like I had to be the center of attention. I had to be making people laugh, you know, and it was all sort of a mask. Right. So that I definitely identified with her story. What about you, Willie? What did you identify?
So, with? Like the two points that I really love, like in her active addiction and in her diseased part, she spoke a little about the nature of her relationship sexually, and she said I'm a cheater, right? And I can identify with that. Like, I sought validation sexually and was never really able to have a healthy relationship, honestly, because I didn't know myself, obviously, right? And then when she goes into talking about what her life is like now, she's talking about the people that are in her life, and she's like, my friends do yoga. My friends, you know, the people that I'm around are healthy. They eat well. They go to community events. And,
right.
You know, like so the people that she was with were like the people that she was, the person that she was. And the person that she is now is like the people that she's hanging around with, you know. And I really like that, and I can identify with that. The people that I hang around with work on themselves.
Right.
You guys work on yourselves, and that's why I hang out with you. And I love that. I love that.
We try. We try to keep working on ourselves. Yeah. Yeah. Like, we'll keep at it. We're not perfect, that's for sure. Yep. Baby steps.
Plus a new lock.
One step back. Like, the people listening can't see Willie's finger actions, but he's moonwalking with his fingers, two steps forward, one step back.
Still progress.
Progress. That's right.
Still progress, right?
Nate, what about you, man? What did you identify with?
I got to be honest. Like, this was my favorite war story on our show. And the thing I identified with the most is that she just sought attention. Like, she just wanted to be the life of the party. Like, she really – and that's how I was growing up. Like, it didn't matter where I was. I just wanted attention, whether it be good attention or bad attention. You know, I always – you know, I did things to, you know, I did stupid stuff to try and always draw attention to myself. But I love how she said in her war story too, like, she goes to church now. She's, you know, doesn't necessarily, you know, her beliefs aren't necessarily exact to the religion she belongs to. But
yeah.
I love what she says about, it's the same way in an AA meeting as it is in church. Just take what you need. Leave the rest there. Yeah. So I love how she said that. And yep. So I'm excited to, I'm really grateful that we got her war story, and I'm so excited to share it on the show. So
yeah. Pretty great. Jordan, did you get a chance to listen to this war story?
Of course. You know, I mean, with every war story, the thing that I really just appreciate and value the most out of anybody that's ever given us a war story is the courageous act to come forward and kind of share part of their life, right? So for me, just that's just growth. That's accountability. And, you know, with her story, with every story, it's something that I respect, you know? Owning up to your past, owning up to actions, whether they were positive or negative, just being accountable and being a human, and then sharing the experience of being a human with somebody else through our platform of this podcast, it holds a high value of respect in my eyes, in my opinion. So thanks for doing that, Kristen. Thank you.
Yeah.
Very, very, very well said, Jordan. I think she did mention that, you know, like, maybe this is who she's always supposed to have been, is somebody that that can help other people by sharing her story. And hopefully, and I think, you know, I think it definitely will. So I'm excited to share it with everybody. With that, we'll go into it. Without further ado, this is Kristen's war story.
Hi, good morning. I'm so honored to have been asked to be on the podcast. My name is Kristen, but I go by Chris, and then all of my nearest and dearest internet followers call me Sink or Sinky. And, you know, I've been in sober from alcohol since November 8th of 2017, so just over 2 years. And nothing makes me more excited than sharing my war story. I mean, I just really like sharing my story with people. And the reason is not because I'm the most important person in the room, but the reason is honestly because I never saw myself as having a problem with alcohol. I was a party girl, and alcohol wasn't a problem until it was a big problem. And it took me stopping consuming it for me to realize how bad I really was and how long I had been bad. Because in my mind, I'd only been bad like the last 6 months before I got sober. But the truth of the matter, the real truth of the matter, is that it got progressively and progressively worse. And there was a lot of signs and signals, red flags, terrible behavior, that maybe a normal person would go, hey, dude, like, you should probably stop fucking drinking. Like, you're making all these terrible fucking decisions. Maybe just put the bottle down. I couldn't do that. Not only, it wasn't even about, at that point, I didn't know if I could or not. I wasn't even willing to try because I didn't have an identity. My identity was booze. I was always a party girl. People loved me, except for my husband, ex. Honestly, my drinking name is Hurricane Kristen. That is how I refer to my past me. Hurricane Kristen. Woo! Party girl, always saying the most outrageous thing, always being the center of attention, always being the funniest person in the room, the loudest person in the room, the biggest personality in the room. That was Hurricane Kristen. And she left a lot of trash and shit in her wake, you know? And now Sober Sinky gets to clean all that up. And I'm having to be, this is a weird adult fucking thing to say, kind of having a little bit of fun. Because for the first time, I really know, you know, my true personality. You know, so my life before, I always joke that I came out of the womb with a beer in my hand. I come from a Czechoslovakian family who immigrated here and became a bunch of drinking farmers. If you guys met my dad, oh my God. First of all, you should have him on the podcast. He's not sober, but he's pretty dope. He's just a personality. But, you know, drinking is involved in everything. And that's, you know, just the life that I was brought into. Easter, we always had a case of beer. Christmas, we pass around schnapps. No matter how old you are, you get to drink the schnapps. I mean, every holiday, birthdays, baptisms, funerals, everything revolves around drinking. And if you grow up in the heart of America, I'm calling you from Cheney, Kansas, which is legitimately the center of the United States. There is nothing to do here. So we spend our time in high school and when we came back in college drinking and driving through these rural roads. Now there's no other cars. We wouldn't hurt anybody but ourselves, but that's how we grew up. There's nothing to do. And so this party girl, you know, persona kind of emerged, but it didn't emerge until I actually turned 21 because although I'm a rule breaker, I definitely like never had a fake ID. I didn't go to the bars as like underage or anything like that. Like, so when I could legally buy a mind-altering substance that let me escape from the shitty life that I thought I was experiencing, I was on board, like game fucking on. And so from the time I turned 21 till the time I turned, well, 31, in jail, you know, I was drinking. I mean, I don't think I had a span where I personally chose not to drink. I mean, everything was an excuse to drink. I was happy I was drinking. I was sad I was drinking. I was celebrating. You know, it's raining. You guys, we need to get some beers and let's watch 12 seasons of Dexter. It's sunny. Patio drinking! Everything is an excuse to drink. But again, that was the persona and that was the life that I had built for myself. The persona that I had built for myself. I, you know, had a pretty American childhood. I had an alcoholic stepdad who was an abuser, a codependent mother, I am a middle child. I'm a classic overachiever. I'm a people pleaser. You know, if you're a child of an alcoholic, you know these things. We manipulate situations because we just want to keep the peace. We're people pleaser because we just want to keep the peace. Telling the truth didn't get us anywhere because alcoholic probably didn't believe it anyway, and your codependent mother didn't fucking believe you either. So you start to realize, if I lie, if I manipulate, if I leave things out, I can manipulate the situation so that I can just keep the peace. And I carried that into my adulthood. I had no idea as an adult about some basic things. I didn't know how to share my feelings. I bottled everything up. And then when I got drunk enough, right? I didn't know how to tell the truth, really. I didn't know how to apologize. I didn't know how to take responsibility. I was a victim of my life. I don't know, you know, how incredibly selfish I was until I got sober. And I remember my ex-husband and I sitting down and writing down like our goals for the next 5 years, and like things we wanted to buy and things we wanted to have and things we wanted to do. And his list was like things for us, and my list was things for me. Like, I want to get LASIK. I want to get a new car. I want a boob job. Like, I don't know. And he looks at my list and he's like, okay, we are clearly not on the same page, because I was not an adult. Cough into your elbow, people. I was not an adult. He was the parent in that relationship and I was the child, because I didn't want responsibilities. I just wanted to party and have fun. And that's what life was like before. If I could, like, looking back now, I see all of these milestones that should have been like, woo, woo. Hey, home girl, you got a big fucking problem. But you know, I just didn't see it like that. You know, two DUIs, and I thought, I'm in college. Everybody gets at least one DUI in college. Everybody gets a DUI in college. Two, but you know what? Wrong place, wrong time. I know that I don't like to do this particular thing, so I'm just going to avoid that in the future. I was a cheater. You know, I tried to get love from my ex-husband. I never got it. And honestly, I don't think he was capable, but I also think I was really dependent and needy, and I needed him to act in a certain way and to treat me in a certain way, or else I didn't feel loved, I didn't feel valued, and I didn't feel wanted. And so I sought it out in other ways. And, you know, if I could have maintained a healthy relationship, like monogamous relationship, that would have been amazing. But I couldn't do that. And the more that I drank, the sadder I became. And the sadder I became, the more I wanted to step out. And the more I stepped out, the guiltier and shittier that I felt, and the more I drank. And so it becomes this cycle, this roller coaster. And I couldn't get off the fucking roller coaster. I couldn't get off this roller coaster. And that is Hurricane Kristen. Destruction. But I wake up the next morning and be like, what's the big fucking deal? You know? Life now is a life that, and obviously anyone who's in recovery can say the same thing, is a life I never thought I would fucking have. I never thought I would have this life. I live a cool life right now. It's not ideal, but it is a life that I truly believe that this is the space I'm supposed to be in. I'm supposed to be talking to people about recovery. I'm supposed to be helping people live a better life. I'm supposed to be living my best life. And I'm fucking doing it, man. And I'm learning. you know, not every day is glitter and fucking rainbows and unicorns and shit. You know, but every day is better and I get to learn more about myself. So, you know, what this sobriety life has given me is a purpose. You know, sobriety is not my identity, but sobriety has given me a purpose. I have a reason to wake up in the morning. And it's not to go figure out where I'm going to patio drink later. I stumbled into making sobriety jewelry for people. I had no intention of doing that. I just wanted to make something for myself. Because this journey is so hard and it's lonely. And if you're not a member of a 12-step program, if you're not a member of a church, it's incredibly lonely. Like, do you think that my parents give a fuck that I've been sober 888 days? No. You know, they're proud of me, but they don't get it. You know, so if you're not a member of the recovery community, this is a lonely place to be. And so I wanted to wear something on my finger that just had my sobriety date on it. And just because out there when I was looking in the world, I'm like, I'm not wearing a t-shirt that says sober as fuck on it. I'll wear a ring that says sober as fuck on it, but I'm not wearing a t-shirt. You know, I can't wear that to work. I made some stuff for myself. People bought it and it's transformed. And, you know, in 2019, I lost my job. This is the second job I had lost in a matter of 2 years. And I was just like, initially it was great because you have no, you get rid of that shitty fucking boss and you get to have no schedule and it's amazing, right? Well, if you're a stir crazy person in recovery, having no routine and no schedule is terrible. And we're living it in coronavirus quarantine right fucking now. We are living it. And it is so fucking important to stay busy because I went into the deepest depression and waking up every morning and having to make sobriety jewelry and seeing sobriety date after sobriety date, birthday, anniversary, that is what got me through this depression. That lifted me up. And I was able to get out of this depression. I started my second company. So I work for myself 100% independently. And this is a dream of mine that I have had since I got out of college. You know, and it's just something that I've never thought I was capable of doing. I didn't have the confidence, but I didn't have the discipline. I was drinking all the fucking time. I didn't have time. Well, when you quit drinking, you got nothing but fucking time. Nothing but fucking time. And, you know, I am not alone anymore. I don't believe that I have to do everything by myself. Sure, I do not like asking for help. I don't like asking for help. I don't like to appear weak. I got it. I can do it. But working with a sponsor and not just, I mean, I work with a sponsor, but working with people who have long-term sobriety, like I have multiple friends who have long-term sobriety and talking with them and getting different perspectives is so crucial. I don't have to figure this shit out on my own. When I try to figure my life out on my own, I end up in a heap of anxiety, tears, and Cheez-Its. Or nachos. I mean, that's the best way to do it. But, you know, for me, I was sober 5 months before I went to AA. I knew I wanted to go, but I was scared. I was nervous. I had anxiety about it. I finally went, and I started going 4 times a week. Now, as I got more sobriety time under my belt, I went less and less. And now I like to go 2 times a week. And right now being in quarantine, Zoom AA meetings are great, but you know, I miss that, having that schedule. I miss having something to look forward to, especially when you work for yourself. It's like, you have to have a reason to get out of the house. You have to have a reason to go do stuff, because I literally wake up in my pajamas. I work, you know, I get up, I brush my teeth, I make the coffee, I go to my desk, and I don't really leave that corner of my home until it's like 7 o'clock at night. And I'm like, I have got to get out of here. Awesome. There's a meeting at 8. I can go. So for me, a routine is, even if it's a small routine, you know, my routine, I wake up, I make my bed, I make my coffee, I write in a journal, I say the tiniest prayer. I'm not an uber religious person. Higher power, that's my homie, not Jesus. But you know, that's the other fucking cool thing, is that I have spirituality. I didn't even know what that was. I love church. I'm a singer. I get to sing in church. I don't believe Jesus walked on water, but I still love the message at church. And, you know, I treat church like I treat AA. I take what I want and I leave the rest. I take what's helpful to me and I leave the rest. It has given me this sense of community that I didn't know I needed. I've always, I feel like in my adulthood, needed a community. And my drinking bar friends were my community that I had tried to like create for myself. And now I get to have like a healthy community. Like, my friends are doing fucking yoga, you guys. I used to make so much fun of those people. Sorry. my friends are doing yoga and they're at church services. And, you know, now we go on coffee dates instead of drinking dates. And, you know, I'm not where I wanted to be. I'm divorced. I'm sad. But I'm getting to be of service to other people. And that gave me this purpose that I just honestly, I didn't know that I needed. And I love it. And, you know, I think the main takeaway for me in sobriety is that I didn't know I had a problem until I woke up in jail and I had an ankle monitor strapped to my ankle with a felony pending. That doesn't happen to college educated, homeowning, married, career oriented, pretty little blonde girls from Kansas. I was looking at 10 years in prison. That doesn't happen. I didn't look like who I thought people with a drinking problem look like. And that kept me from getting help. And so I just want people to know, you can own your own business. You can make $100,000 a year. You can be fit. You can be all these things. Doesn't mean you don't have a problem.
Cough in your elbow, people. I loved her. I loved her, you guys. She was great, man.
I loved her too. Yeah, that was awesome.
Fun to listen to. She's fun to listen to.
Fun to listen to, and obviously she had a great story. Like, I really liked that she talked about that it was a big part of her family culture. I think that that's a thing that, you know, like, it's definitely not a part of my story, but I've heard it talked about a lot in the rooms, and that, you know, people's families, like, that's just what they do. They drink and they don't understand. It sounds like in her case, they don't understand, you know, that she's an alcoholic and that she can't drink like a regular person.
Right.
Man, I couldn't imagine that, like, growing up with it, you know, what, that wasn't part of my story either. I could not imagine growing up having it given to me as a child. I don't think I'd be here if that was the case.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people in my family, they all drink, but I mean, it's, my family's always been very understanding of, like, you know, well, first off, like, it's not every event has to have alcohol involved. And some do, some don't, but they understand. They support me, I support them, we all support each other. And it's like, if you're deciding you're not going to for a while, then you're not going to. They're not going to, like, call you out on it, right? Like, they're not going to make you feel like you're an outcast because you're not doing exactly what they're doing. They allow you to be the individual that I am or that they are. Mm-hmm. So,
one thing I got to say about Kristen is she loves life right now. And, you know, I follow her on Instagram. That's actually, you know, where we connected with her. And she's just really happy, really just loves life. And you know, those are the type of people I want in my life. So people like you guys,
I could identify with her being her own boss now, you know, the career path leading to something that inside she kind of always wanted anyway. And now I loved the emphasis that she had on, I have an amazing life today. It's not all peaches and cream, but I never dreamed that this is what my life could be like.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I get it. Sobriety brought me a fucking kick-ass life.
She was pretty great, and she definitely talked a lot about, you know, the importance of her routine and, you know, because she's self-employed, you know, having to have that structure and having to have the discipline and following through with her plan so that she, you know, has still that foundation of a good, solid morning routine. So, you know, it very much tied into our topic. And you know, I can't wait. We got to get her on here. We got to have her come on.
Oh, yeah. We have to. Yep. Yeah.
She was pretty great. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Kristen.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Definitely. Thank you. Would love to see her on there. You know, not in this format, like in the studio when we can all be together doing the right thing.
That'd be bad. That'd be pretty cool.
I can't wait for that. I cannot wait.
You know, hopefully we don't have to do this for too much longer. Like, I'm here in the studio. It's definitely lonely without you guys, but we understand, you know, the need to take this seriously and to do this from home. And you know, I appreciate the fans for being patient while we work with this new format. It's a little bit different than what we're used to. And obviously, everything is a little bit different than what we're used to. So, you know, we're all just going to roll with the punches. And, you know, on that note, like, being that our topic today was free time and sort of, you know, working that out, I want to issue a challenge to our audience and to you guys as well, you know, all three of us, four of us. Let's talk about scheduling our time. So I'm definitely going to make it a point this week to sit down tomorrow. Schedule out, like, tomorrow, and I mean tomorrow on the cusp of, you know, Sunday. So, like, the day before my week is supposed to start, right? I'm going to sit down. I'm going to write down everything that Monday through Friday, even Saturday, my week is supposed to entail. And that means, you know, waking up, my morning routine, which is read, pray, meditate, exercise, what exercise I'm going to be doing. And then, you know, what my plans are throughout the day. Like, mine and Nate's might look a lot different than yours and Jordan's, who are currently working. And that being said, our audience is going to have different schedules too. But it's important for me, it's going to be important for me to schedule out everything. And no detail is too scrupulous, right? Like, so with that, like, I'm going to share that with you guys, you the viewers, and also you the co-host of the podcast, because I need for you to know, A, to know that I did it, and B, to hold me accountable, because obviously we've talked about on this show the importance of having the discipline to stick to everything on the list. So that's maybe something that we could also do in these instances where we have free time, is share it with others so that they can hold us accountable, right? So the challenge to our audience is schedule out your week. Schedule it out and adhere to that schedule and see how you feel at the end of it. Do you feel better about the free time that you have? Do you feel better about the time that you're spending doing X, Y, Z, knowing that you have time for it allotted, and that, you know, if you do everything, essentially, hopefully, the balance is a good one.
Right.
So I feel like that's a challenge. We would love to hear.
I'm gonna accept it. I'm doing it.
Yeah, share with us. Share with us how it goes for you guys. We'd love for you to hashtag the other side of hell, and send us your pictures, and we would love for you guys to work that challenge with us.
Right. I think even like Willie said, even if it's as simple as I'm doing laundry from this time to this time, I'm going to vacuum upstairs from this time to this time, I'm going to give myself an hour to make lunch and watch TV from this time. Like, seriously, yep.
I think it will be interesting to see how different people react to it.
Yeah.
So
I want to know what the rest of the world's doing, because I'm missing out on this experience of staying home. Like, I'm going to work, so my schedule really hasn't changed. So
that's one thing. I'll tell you, Jordan, a lot of people are doing, or at least myself, is I'm scratching a lot of things on my body with that extra free time. So
good.
It's nothing too exciting, buddy.
Well, that's good, dude. Like, if there's an itch, you got to scratch it somewhere. And maybe that itch is scratching it with scheduling that out. Like, I'm going to scratch my back from 10:15 in the morning until.
Good point. That's a good idea.
Nate, I don't know if we want to know your morning routine.
No, but I do want to add this, like, to what Cameron said. Like, I love hearing from our viewers and our fans. And please, you know, theothersideofhell@gmail.com. We're on Instagram at theothersideofhell101. Message us, DM us. Like, I want to hear from you guys. I want to know how this is working out for you. I want to experience this with you guys too. And I love hearing from people. I do. It's my favorite thing. So please, you know, send us a message. Make my day.
Make Dave's day, and you sure will.
Please, make my day. Make my day.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Not a surprise. But yeah, man, I could use it, because after this last week, man, I gotta say, like, it's been kind of a weird week. Just a weird
time. It has.
My schedule's kind of all out of whack, and like, I'm sleeping at weird times, and just a little bit off kilter, you know. I can feel it. So I feel chubby, you guys.
You look great. Yeah, okay. The hair looks awesome. Even on
getting distracted.
Does. Oh,
it's slick. It's shiny.
Oh, I'm jealous. I'm jealous.
Don't get me started, man. I'll take the hat off. You don't want to know.
All right. It was great doing a show with you guys today. Love you.
Yeah, Kristen, thank you.
Yeah, thanks,
Jordan,
again, Kristen.
Thank you. Cameron, thank you. I love you guys. Nate, thank you, man.
Love you guys.
Yeah.
Thanks for keeping me going.
I love you, Jordan. I love you, Nate. I love you, Willie. And I love you, audience. And with that, I just want to say, you are worth the work.
I'll see you on the other side.
Good night, guys.
See ya. maybe by the end of this, Jordan will have a new catchphrase. Yeah. I'm just enjoying being able to be on the camera for once. So peace out,
homies. All right, see you guys.
See you guys.